We're here today on September 15th, 2007 at 6175 Maddox Boulevard with two members of the Chincoteague Island Community Heritage Project, myself, Lisa Brelia, and Janice McKinnon, with two island residents, Jeanette White Phipps and Catherine White Yule, to do an oral history interview. Let's go ahead and get started by talking a little bit about your early life. For example, talking a bit about your family background. For instance, talking about your parents and about their generation. What were your parents' names?
My father was James B. White, and my mother was Sally Ellen Holloway White.
And where were they from? Were they from Chincoteague?
No.
Wow.
My father was born in Delaware, and my mother in Maryland. She came here as a bookkeeper to Mr. Jester that had a seafood business, and she was his bookkeeper until she met my father here on Chincoteague, and they were married. The house where they were married is torn down and gone. It was the old Jester house. It's a motel there now, the Lighthouse Motel.
Lighthouse.
It was a nice big house there, and that's where she was married in.
And did you know anything about your grandparents?
Yes, I knew my grandparents. My grandmother lived with us for a while, and she lived until she was 94.
Oh.
And she wasn't all gray then. But anyhow, she stayed with Mother part-time and part-time with another sister Mother had in Maryland.
And did you have a large extended family here on Chincoteague? Cousins, aunts, uncles?
Well, yes. My father had a sister, Aunt Anna Hickman, her name was,
mm-hmm.
and she had children. And then he had another sister, Molly, and she lived here on Main Street, and she had a son. Had two sons, but one of them got killed, yes. And besides that, most of my relatives lived away. My brother, my father. Yeah?
Don't forget that is dead. Always like it for a cutie.
Our father always called our mother Cutie. When he first met her, he remarked that she was really a cutie. So they courted and got married, and all his life he called her Cutie. And when I was growing up, I thought that was her name, and you spelled it with a Q.
And that was Catherine. And did you celebrate holidays and have a lot of traditions that involved your extended family?
Well, way back when I was a child, yes, we did. And I remember when on Halloween, everybody would dress up and we'd all go downtown and see everybody, women, men, and children all dressed up for Halloween. That's when I was small. My brother is 3 years younger than I am. He would be in the baby carriage and I would walk beside the baby carriage. I guess that was before Catherine was born.
So the whole island celebrated Halloween together.
Yes, they did. Of course, Chincoteague used to be slighter in little communities. It was Deep Hole and up the neck and the creekers up the creek and down the shore and the town. We lived in the town. Of course, I lived on Cropper Street where I was born.
Mm. What would a typical Halloween costume be?
Well, they dress up all kind of way, ghosts and pirates and everything. Even grown people and grown men, they dressed up too. Until one man got murdered, stabbed to death, and they quit having everybody have Halloween like that. That's when they stopped having Halloween, except for the kids. Of course, the kids would grow up, and we used to run around and ring doorbells, but we'd run when they'd come to the door. We didn't get any candy.
No trick or treat.
So it was more trick than treat.
Yes, more tricks, yeah. And I remember when the fire company was organized, I was 4 or 5 maybe that old, when Bill Lewis, he was a fireman, and after the old Atlantic Hotel burned down, that was on Main Street, and because my brother and I used to walk on the foundation of it when we go through town.
What is located there now? Where was that?
I can't tell you exactly.
The Russell Hotel, but that's gone.
Used to be the Russell Hotel there.
That wasn't the Atlantic Hotel.
Oh, no, that was...
She don't remember that. She's 5 years younger.
Well, she's a very young woman.
If I would ride through town, I could show you where it is, uh-huh. but I can't exactly tell you.
Was that on Main Street?
It was more right beside, I think, the just the house, that Watson House.
Okay.
That's still there.
Okay.
It's a few of the houses. It used to be some houses on Main Street years ago.
Okay.
But it was close to that because we walked on the foundation of it when we were going through town.
Okay.
And the town was entirely different than it is now.
The Watson House, when you come off the bridge, Jeanette?
Yeah.
The Watson House, when you come off the bridge, is right in front. And Watson's drugstore and, well, everything store was right as you came off the bridge to the left. It was right there on that corner. And that building is still there.
That was an ice cream parlor on one side. And on the other side, men hung out and smoked their cigars and all that kind of stuff. And they had ice cream. My father, he'd go down and he'd smoke his pipe with them, and then he'd bring a quart of ice cream home.
So that's where the men in town would hang out?
One of the places, yes.
Where else would people hang out?
Well, then it was another little shop around there that men stopped in, got coffee, and a man made oyster stew, and just simple things like that.
Was there any drinking establishments?
Well, no. It was illegal to drink then, no beer. But there were a few bootleggers on the island.
That's what I was wondering.
In fact, it was one that lived next door to my...
Two down our street. Two places to drink.
Yeah. They were bootleggers.
Like,
and every once in a while, they'd get raided. And, oh, that was an exciting time.
Who would they get raided by?
The Rebnors.
From outside of the island.
Yeah, yeah. And that was an exciting time. And there was a little jail down our street. As you were going down Cropper Street, heading east, right on the left was the jailhouse. And the bootlegger was right across the street from that. And you went a couple houses, and there was another bootlegger. And that was big business.
And this was something everybody knew about.
Yes, and there were some ones scattered all over the island. I was one in Depot. Most of the, they would just sell drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was illegal, and they weren't supposed to do it.
Was that the Virginia Inn?
Oh, that was a
roadhouse, I guess you'd call it.
Uh-huh.
We're jumping ahead.
But would only men go to these establishments?
Yes, just men. Mm-hmm.
And was there ever any tension between wives and husbands, because husbands would go hang out?
No, there didn't seem to be.
Right.
They had children, and we were friends with the children.
Uh-huh.
And once in a while, we'd go home with them, but when we did, there was nothing sold or nothing like that
uh-huh.
until we left.
Uh-huh.
And anyhow, that was before the water tank that was in town was built or on our street. I remember that being built. I know you don't even have a picture of that, but it was that was I remember when they put water on the island. Before that, we had cisterns. On our house, we have a cistern that hung on the wall outside, and pipes run in.
And where did the water come to go in the cistern? From rain?
Yeah, from rain, yes.
And that's the only way you had water?
That's the end of that. Well, now, some people had
a well,
but they got so they said the water wasn't safe to drink or anything, so they didn't use that anymore. And then when I was little, I remember digging all the trenches and laying the pipes and everything. But before that, the man that lived next door to us, a Mr. Baker, Joe Baker, he put a windmill up with a tank up there. So we had running water before they put the tank water in. And so we had a bathroom. Wasn't too many bathrooms on here to start with.
So you had one of the first bathrooms?
Well, I don't... We're among the first, not the first, I'm sure.
Very proud of that.
Well, we're used to it, I guess. In fact, the first one that we had was on the back porch, and you sit down on it, and the tank would fill up. And when you got up, the water would run out and flush.
Uh-huh.
So, had that first. And, of course, then Mother had a bathroom put in upstairs.
And how did you do, tell us more about your childhood home, about the house itself.
Well, we lived on Cropper Street. That's where the firehouse is. Yeah, it was 13 Cropper Street at that time. Of course, since they've changed the numbers and everything. Yeah. And our house, when Mother and Dad had bought it, it was $1,300 is what they paid for the house. And it had electric A lot of the houses on Shane Street didn't have electric then.
So about what year would it be?
Well, being...
How old would you be?
I might have been four or five or six. I don't remember exactly.
You were there this weekend?
Yeah, I was born there in the house. And it's a hard job to remember everything.
Sure.
But anyhow, we had three bedrooms upstairs and a bath, and a living room, and a dining room, and a kitchen, and a little back kitchen. My mother had that built on, put laundry tubs in when we had tank water, and with a washing machine.
What kind of washing machine
is
it? How did she do the laundry?
It was an old Maytag. Right. And it was round with a washboard, looked like a washboard, and had an agitator that come down and swished around, and that cleaned the clothes. Uh-huh. And then it had an electric wringer. After the wash, she had two laundry tubs, so she'd put them in one tub, then the other. But that's the way she did her washing.
Did she ever have anyone help her?
Oh, yes.
In the home?
Yes.
Anyone hired to help her?
Well, she had, she always had somebody, from one, maybe not all the time. Yeah, mother was a bookkeeper, really, and once in a while she worked in the electric office.
Did she work outside the house?
At times, yes. Mm-hmm. And at one time she had her own shop in town.
Oh.
There was a building there, it's gone now, but it was where Mr. Joe Baker had a plumbing shop, where he was a plumber. And the Bill Orr's I was telling you about worked for him. He came on here to work for Mr. Baker. Mm-hmm. And she sold wallpaper and all kinds of novelty things, and even white dresses for graduation, and all kinds of little things in that she sold.
And Bill met his wife. She worked for Mother. Nola Reynolds, she was. And Bill worked next door for Mr. Baker, and they met, and Jeanette used to go with them when they went courting, didn't you, Jeanette? Mother took them to get their marriage license, and remained friends all their lives. Remain friends forever. And the main thing I remember about Nola Lures, she made the best apple brown bettas you ever tasted in your life. Oh, they were great. I'm 82, and I remember when I was just a kid, she used to make those delicious.
Well, that probably helped with recording.
Oh. Jeanette, tell them about some of the 13s involved in our family.
Yeah.
Well, I told you the house cost $1,300 when they bought it.
$1,300?
Yes. And it had 13 steps to go upstairs.
Uh-huh.
It had 13 light fixtures when they bought it.
Uh-huh.
On the front porch, they had a railing, and each section had 13 spokes in it.
The swing had 13.
And the swing, yeah, we had a swing on the front porch with a couple chairs. And that had 13. It was, oh, it was dozens of 13s that we used to talk about and everything.
Well, didn't Mother and Daddy go together 13 months before they were
married? And they were married in 1913.
Yeah. Oh. But it doesn't seem like that gave your family bad luck, or did it?
What?
Did that give your family bad luck, having this?
No, that was our lucky number. We thought that was good.
I went to the races one time, betting the number one horse in the third race and won.
Oh,
I remember when they were building the water tank that we had on Cropper Street. It had big round sections of it, and a bunch of us would get on one section and another bunch on the other, and we'd rock it back and forth. And then when they had the stand pipe that it had in the middle, you know, for the water to go up, we'd crawl through that. And then we remember when they built the firehouse.
Uh-huh.
It used to be a field there that Mr. Leonard had fishing boats with nets, and he would lay his nets out on that field. Lucky Leonard, yeah. They live where the cable office was until recently. They lived in that house right next to the American Legion building, which was an old garage. My mother had her car. She would have to take it there, and it was Mr. Leonard. Arthur Leonard had the garage.
Okay.
And they had an old tank out front that you had to pump up to get the gas up in the tank and then have the hose, and it would run out in the car. So my brother and I, we used to like pump it up for him.
How old were you when they first started having cars on the island? Do you always remember there being cars?
Yeah, there were cars, but there were just a few.
That was a woman before her time, really.
Well, the man that lived next door, I think he had the third or fourth car on Shingatig, and when he got another one, Mother bought that. That's that first car she had.
So your mother was a very progressive woman.
Yes, she was. She was
smart, too.
Yeah, she... She was a record keeper.
Did we get, what was your mother's name?
Sally Holloway White.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Well, her name was Sally Ellen, but they called her Sally.
We were some of the few kids whose parents had a complete encyclopedia. And that was Mother. I mean, she educated herself. She taught herself everything. And I know when I was growing up, even after I finished high school, I thought Mother was smarter than I was.
Really?
Yeah, she's a woman before her time.
And where do you think she got that inspiration?
Well, she was living in Berlin, Maryland. And this, what was the lady's name, Jeanette, that she
Elizabeth
went?
Elizabeth Tillman.
She went to work for her in a five and dime. And she helped to educate. I think Mother quit school in eighth or ninth grade, didn't she? Well, maybe it was. But anyway, she learned so much from this Elizabeth Tillman. When Mother and Daddy's first child was born, it only lived a few days. They named it Elizabeth Tillman White. And Mother said she learned so much from that lady. And I grew up thinking my mother was the smartest person in the world.
And how many siblings were you all together?
Well, there were five of us that lived.
Okay.
But her first baby died. It was a blue baby.
Okay.
Nowadays, they could have saved it by changing the blood, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, first it was my older. I had a sister older than I, about 2.5 years older than I was. And then my brother, Julian. He's 3 years younger. Well, Mother used to take it, you know where Ridge Road is?
Yeah.
On the right side, it used to be Rattlesnake Ridge. That's what it was called. And it was just a path through there.
Uh-huh.
Mother had, of course, she had another car by then. And she used to take us on a picnic. And we'd spread our blanket right in the middle of the road and have our lunch and everything. Then my brother and I would go pick little red berries. They call them tea berries, I think.
Okay.
And that's Ridge Road now. On the other side, it was Chicken City Road. And, of course, it's still Chicken City Road. But that was way back before there were any highways.
So is that one of the things you used to do for recreation, was go on picnics?
Mm-hmm, yes.
What other kinds of things did you do?
Well, a lot of people used to have birthday parties.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of those. Everybody had a birthday party.
And what were the activities that you would do at a birthday party?
Well, we'd play spin the bottle and tend the tail on the donkey. And all kinds of
post office.
Well, that was spin the bottle.
A version of spin the bottle.
Yes. Whoever it pointed to got to kiss somebody.
And did you go to the seashore a lot? Would you go swimming?
Well, we didn't have any beach on here, any place to go swimming. That was before the...
I mean, over on the eastern side.
Well, it wasn't a beach. It was a place, a break in the marsh, where
uh-huh.
we could swim there. They had a diving board there.
And would you go there quite often, or not really?
Well, yeah, we used to go all summer.
Okay.
But before that, when we were small, we used to go down right opposite Cropper Street. It was the government.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, the government property. That's where our father used to come in. He was on the light ship, the winter quarter light ship. Anchored out on the Winter Quarter Shoal out in the Atlantic Ocean. And they had a little place called the Government House, we called it. And we'd go down there. We had to jump overboard. We didn't have any beach to wade out. You had to jump overboard. Well, we'd catch lines from boats and things like that. So that's how we learned how to swim. And
it was muddy as it could be, and I learned a dog paddle. But she and Julian used to jump off the bridge. In fact, Jenny did too, didn't she? Yeah. But Jeanette and Julian would jump off the bridge. And who knows what was down there? They could. She might not be here to talk to you.
Well, it wasn't as high as it is now. It was a smaller bridge, all wooden bridge. And I remember when they built the bridge that's there now. Of course, that's a long time ago. But anyhow, we would. We'd swim, we'd go down to one dock and jump overboard. If the tide was going toward up the neck, we'd go that way till we'd get to the bridge. And we had to climb up a ladder to a trap door that come up on the bridge. And it had a bridge tender down at the foot of it. Of course, he saw us, he'd start up there and we'd jump overboard and we'd go down to the next dock. But that's the way we went swimming then until they built the place over on the east side. That we could go there, but that was the only. And then on the end of the island, now it's a campground there now, and they've built up over all that. But we used to go swimming down there too. It was a.
The only way we could go to Assateague was by boat, and we used to go to Assateague by boat and walk over to the beach. And That was a lot of fun, too. I stepped on a snake one time, and I thought I was going to die right there.
Another thing, the churches used to have picnics. We'd go on a boat. They'd have a monitor, they call them then. And they would go from down the dock all the way over to Assateague. And then we'd have to walk across the beach from where we landed. And Mother used to bake a cake and have fried chicken and deviled eggs and all kinds of things, make a big picnic lunch. And we'd eat over there and stay all day. And coming back, they always made lemonade on the barge where we were on. And they had ice cream. They were individual pieces of ice cream wrapped in paper. I don't think they make those anymore. But that's one of the things we had every year, too. And then at the end of school, lots of times we'd go over to Assateague on a picnic. Somebody had to take over on a boat to the other side. Then we had to walk all the way across till we got to the ocean. And sometimes we'd go up to the lighthouse, and they would let you walk up in it then. We used to climb up to the top of the lighthouse.
Did you tell them how Daddy lived over on Assateague?
Hey, our father lived on Assateague. His father came here and was in the Life Saving Service before it was the Coast Guard.
Okay.
And he and Daddy's mother lived over on Assateague. My father did, too. He only went to school 2 years. As old.
He
educated himself. He got to be chief engineer on the light ship. And when he retired and came home, he had all these books and everything where he'd learned all this stuff. So we had a good mother and father both.
All right, you mentioned about school. Tell us a little bit more about your school years.
Well, I remember the first day I went to school.
I get that.
I'm not going to tell you right that,
I guess.
Anyhow,
that your memory is.
It was an old wooden school back of where the school is now on Church Street. That was the high
school.
School's
up the creek now.
Well,
there's that old building, brick here. Yeah.
Brick building. Well, it was a wooden building back of that.
Okay.
And that's where we started. No, they had built the brick school in front of it. And when I started school, of course, I'd been to, they called it pay school back then. I went every day, just like school, from 9 o'clock in the morning until 3:40.
About how many kids were in your class?
Well, in the pay school,
mm-hmm.
It was about 14 or 15, something like that. And we learned to read and write and do arithmetic and everything. So when I started to the regular school, I went up in second grade because I already knew how to read and write and stuff like that.
Were there kids on the island that didn't go to school?
Well,
maybe
no. No, I think most of them had to go to school.
Okay.
I think it was a law back then that you had to attend to a certain age, yeah.
But back in our day, there were only 11 grades of school. You had 7 of grammar school and 4 of high. And so we got out fairly early. We were 17 when we graduated. Now they have, of course, they've had 12 years for years now. But I remember my first day at school. I went out and sat on the front steps and cried. I wanted my mommy. And Jeanette knows something about hers, but I don't think she'll tell you about it.
No, I'm not.
If you turn the mic off,
she'll be. But anyhow, we went to the old school, and part of the time we'd be in the old building, and part of the time in the new building. But eventually they tore the old school down. It was an old wooden building. It wasn't very nice. But it had upstairs and downstairs. And I remember they used to have a little cabinet in each one of the grade schools. They had books there. Every once in a while they'd get you to read something and then write what you had read. So I'd get books and read the whole, every one of them. In each grade I was a reader. I always did read. But I read every one of them. And in high school, I know I used to make book reports for all the boys because they didn't read the books.
It's okay by now. I'm sure they're not going to take away your diploma.
I graduated in 1937 and got married in 1938 because I didn't go away to school or anything.
And your husband was from Chincoteague as well?
Well, he was born on Chincoteague. In fact, he was 2 years and a half older than I was. But his mother, like I told you, she came here and met Harry's father while she was here, too. She was a school teacher. And we lived on Chincoteague for a little while, and then he had a job with a gas company. And he got it when we lived in Snow Hill, Maryland, in Berlin, Maryland, in Cambridge. And we were living in Snow Hill when he got drafted. So then we had to come home. He went, that was World War II.
And that was only, was he would have only been married a few years?
7 years, I think, when he was drafted, yeah.
So toward the end of the war,
was he? Well, no, it was in 1993, I think it was. He was drafted, yes. And
Not 43.
Oh, 43, yeah. We came home in 45. He got rheumatic fever.
Oh, okay. And where was he in the war?
Bainbridge, Massachusetts. I mean, Bainbridge, Maryland. Where he had his basic training and started school. Mm-hmm. And he got rheumatic fever.
So he never went to Europe?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
He was supposed to go on a battleship. That's where he was signed to go after he finished school.
Uh-huh.
But he got rheumatic fever. And he was in the hospital a great good while, and then finally they sent him out to California. They had a place out there that they built for all the people that had rheumatic fever, and all the soldiers that were wounded overseas and everything, they all went there. They had a big hospital, and then they built units for all the hospital units and everything. And he stayed there. I went out there with him and stayed 8 months. And then we came home in 1945. And that's when they built this house. Before it was a street or anything. He had the house almost built before they cut the street through. And we didn't have electric for 6 months, and we didn't have running water. He had to run a pipe from where Wal-Maddox watered his horses and things, run back here until they put water down the street. So we had used lamps. But we brought water over from where my mother was to drink. The water that the other water used for bathrooms and stuff like that.
But for some reason, you had to name the street.
Oh, yeah.
And she asked Wal-Maddox, do you mind if I name the street? And he said, no, go ahead. She said, okay, it's Maddox Boulevard. So it was one house here, and she named it Maddox Boulevard. Farsighted.
Before it was done, we found out you had to have a permit from the OPA. And anyhow, they sent us the papers, and we filled them out, and they wanted to know the name of the street. So Harry said, I'm going to tell Wal we won't name it Wal, it Maddox Boulevard. So that's what they named it and everything. So, and we've lived here ever since.
And it's one of the biggest streets on the island.
More traffic.
Yes.
I don't know if you were down here yesterday or not, but it was full of motorcycles.
I did see that yesterday. It was loud.
Yeah. They have a meeting in sometime in Ocean City and sometime up in Delaware. And they say it's thousands come to it. We have a nephew, my youngest sister's boy. He lives in Florida now, but he rides a motorcycle. He comes up once in a while, so some of that, yes.
And about your children?
I didn't have any children.
Never had children?
No. We were married for 64 years when Harry, my husband, died, but we'd never had any children.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd help take care of my...
She was everybody's mother.
Yeah, well... Even,
sometimes it happens that way, though.
Even the kids, like, this is the first house they built. And then Mom Mattis moved the house from someplace and fixed it up. It was down the street a ways. That was the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And then right across where the lawyer's office is was the third house that was built on there. And gradually it filled up and everything. But we moved in here in June of 1946. And been living here ever since.
Something I was wondering about is, at what time in your life did you notice that people from other places started visiting Chickadee?
Well, they always came on Pony Penning. See, we lived on Cropper Street, and they had the carnival right in the middle of town back then. The buildings weren't there. The
mm-hmm.
old theater and all that wasn't the,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't there. And they had carnival right in the middle of town. So all we had to do was cut across from Cropper Street
mm-hmm.
to across the next street, and we were at the carnival ground. And they had the horses there too, Pony Pen. They run all the way from where they swam over clear through to middle of town,
okay.
and they brought the ponies in.
They started Pony Penning. Because when I was born, 1925, it's in celebration of my birth, 1925.
They had so many fars. They used to have a big store on here, they called it. It was a Wheelton Mercantile store, and we called it the big store. And in fact, I've got some furniture that come from it. My bedroom suit, that was my mother's, that come from the big store. And I have that big lamp back there. That came from the big store, too.
Uh-huh.
That was bought. And we had, we got electric. We saved all the things that you could still burn oil in if you wanted to. And so they had so many fires in town. That's when they organized the fire company. And they had a fire carnival to make money to buy a fire engine. Back when I remember, they just had a little one they pulled along and had a pump. You had to pump water. So between the big fires, the Atlantic Hotel and the big store and all the other buildings that burned, that's why they did organize the fire company. And
wasn't Bill Lewis involved in that, Jeanette?
Oh, yeah.
Bill Lewis was involved in that. And you used to go with him to the meetings, didn't you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The first
market,
and people that come from off the island, would you call them tourists?
Well, it used to
when
be.
When did you start to use that word?
Well, it... After people came for the, so many people came on here for the pony penning that a lot of the homes would rent their rooms to people that came on here, and that's why they called them tourists.
My brother and I, one pony penning, when I was little, my brother and I counted license plates from, I think it was 28 different states. This was way back, maybe 1930 or 31, something like that. So we always had a lot of people for pony penning.
And so you would use the term tourist even later?
Yeah, just when it started.
And then it just started to...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when Marguerite Henry bought Misty at the carnival. Or at the pony penning, yes. And, of course, I remember when I... Misty lived a long time. I think she lived to be 26 years old. And I worked down at the Burton Campground for 9 summers, and I used to tell the children about Misty and where to go see her and everything. Boy, they liked that.
Yeah.
She was getting kind of old then. I think she was 26, but she was a famous pony.
To add a little humor to it, when I was working for the government, my supervisor said I had more grandmothers to die than anybody she ever knew. I had to come home for pony penning.
I was wondering about World War II and if that had a big change in the island, or was it in what way? People going out and coming back a lot?
Well, they had an army base on here. That's over on Church Street Extended. And they did. And I know we had, Harry got drafted when we were living in Snow Hill. Mm-hmm. And so we moved home, and then he had to go into service. But they had an army camp, and then they started building the naval base over where it is now. It started on Wallops Island. Yes, I know I had a cat. When we came home, I had a black cat named Blackie, and he stayed with my mother-in-law when Harry had to go to service, and of course I went left too.
Uh-huh.
And he used to go over to the army camp, and they'd feed him. And he was the biggest black cat you ever saw. But anyhow, that didn't stay open very long. That closed up and they left.
I was wondering when the young men came back to Chicoutimi after being away, if that had a change in their feeling about their careers or their homes or any changes in their outlooks on life.
Well, my husband wasn't able to go back to his job. He worked over to the base before he was drafted. And no, he came there afterwards. We didn't. He worked for the gas company before he went into service, and he got his job at the base afterward. But then the naval base closed, and NASA took over, and they took over the whole base and everything. And he worked for them until they retired. So
it's funny though, our father was in government. You know, the lightship service, and. My brother was, and I was. And Jeanette never did go in it, did you, Jeanette? But Daddy always told us, or he told me, he says, get a job with the government, and you'll always have security.
And what did it mean to do that kind of work? What work did you do?
This is Catherine.
An auditor with Social Security. And I loved it. It was a nice job. But I eventually... I had so much on me, extracurricular activities, that I transferred here to the Naval Air Station and stayed there
a year, I guess, when I met my husband. That was the end of my career.
No, it was the beginning of a new career.
Near future, right?
And what is it that, what is it, this work on the light show? What kind of work is that?
Well, they had stay out there, and I had a light on it so that it could people keep the boats off of the shoal.
So it's like a lighthouse. But on a ship.
No, it was a boat. It was a light ship.
Okay.
And because
he's an engineer.
Yeah, and during the war, Daddy said they saw submarines. That was First World War.
Oh.
And but they didn't bother them. In fact, Daddy said they would give them fish. So the submarines didn't bother them, so they didn't bother the submarines. They never had any trouble with them.
Well, they weren't equipped with firepower anyway.
Not like it was in World War II.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We heard a lot of interesting tales.
Daddy, I remember one time told me that one morning they got up and they saw boot prints all over the deck of the ship. A submarine that some of the men had come up on the ship. He used to tell us some great tales.
We're going to switch gears for a second and just finish by talking a bit about the 1962 storm.
Well, we were having a northeaster, and the wind blowing real hard and everything. And my husband come from, he was downtown, and he said, Jeanette, the water's coming up over the docks and everything. He said, we've got to move the cars to someplace higher. So he went all around the neighborhood, heard Paul Merritt's and all of them on the street to tell them they better move their cars. And by the time he got home, the tide had come in, was in the tailpipe of our car. We had two cars then. And so they had to weather the storm. Well, by 5 o'clock that afternoon, it had gone out, the tide had gone out. It wasn't in the house then. But we went over, we got in his boat. He had a boat here in the yard. And we went over to my mother's right across the yards and everything. Cropper Street, yes. And we took all the things we had in our freezer and everything because the electric went off and everything. So we went over there in his boat. And we had a dog, Mike, and he went with us. And he was on the front porch and everything. He water came up in his dog pen, and we had to bring him in the house. And he went all that.
It didn't go in mother's house.
No, my mother's house is just a little bit higher there. And it came up to the edge of the porch, but it didn't come in the house. So she had an oil heater, a stove in the house, so she didn't have.
Did she have steps up to the porch?
Yes, yes, it had four steps.
It
come up over the steps, yeah, but it didn't come in the porch. Now, we had a furnace that water come in and everyone, the little ducks and everything, it came in here.
You
so,
furnace,
no, we had this heat.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because it came in all the ducks and everything. Mm-hmm. And so we went over there to my mother's, and it didn't come in her house, so we stayed there that night. And the next day, they told us everybody had to leave Chincoteague. They were going to evacuate the whole island after the tide went down, because they did a lot of damage on Main Street. The boats were running into houses and everything. They tore a lot of houses down. And the water came up, and it's a cemetery over on the next street. And some of the newer graves, these caskets come up out of the cemeteries and were in the lot in back of this house. And so we had leave, and my sister that lived in Only, she came, and my father and I and mother went down to Cassis, and we went to Only to my sister's, and we had to stay there about a week. Well, that was the week I was supposed to be installed as worthy matron of the Eastern Star. But I was.
And what does that mean exactly?
Well, Eastern Star is an organization for women on here. It's like the Masons.
The Masons.
Yeah, ladies of the Masons. Yes. And, of course, you have to have a mother, a father, or a brother, or a husband that belongs to the Masons before you can join the Eastern Star. So, of course, my brother, father, and Mason, all three belong to it. But anyhow, I was supposed to be installed as worthy matron.
That was your big week.
Yes, it was. So I was down the county when I was supposed to be installed, but I was 2 weeks late before I got in. So after a while, they let people come back on Chincoteague, but it was a lot of damage.
I think you were taking your installation gown upstairs and downstairs, weren't you?
Well, yeah, I was afraid of pine trees. We had a lot of pine trees then in the yard.
Uh-huh.
And so I was afraid a pine tree would fall on the roof and mash it in. Then I'd bring it down and put it on the washing machine. And I was afraid
to... Water.
But anyhow, it... And I was supposed to have my installation at the firehouse. We used to have such a big crowd that it was getting too big for the hall. It was where over the post office, where the old post office was. It's a shop there now. That was the old Masonic building.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. My father was one of the ones that... That gave money to have that built, and anyhow, he was a Mason all his life too. But anyhow, I had to have it in the hall because the firehouse, the Red Cross went there, and they were helping people. And a lot of people came on Chincoteague. Some of the Mennonites came on Chincoteague and helped some people. Of course, my husband did it all. He had to wash the house out, and this room wasn't on here then. I just had the dining room and kitchen and bedroom and bathroom and stairway that goes upstairs then. This has been built on since then. But it was a mess. Anyhow, I didn't get to come back. It was 2 or 3 weeks before I could get the house straightened up enough. My husband was working over to the base then. And
funny story concerning the Masons. My husband joined the Masons, and we had a grocery store, and the two of us had a real good business and worked hard. Well, Jim would have to go out every night with this guy that was an official with the Masons and learn all this stuff about the lodge. And he was so tired, he came home one night, he said, I don't know why I ever joined this. So he asked his tutor, Ray, one night, says, why do I have to learn all this stuff? Ray says, to keep the dum-dums out. My husband never said another word. He went on and joined the Masons.
There's a lot of secrets and things that you
yeah, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was... Yeah. And, but Jim, he was so worn out after work, you know, and he raises to keep the dum-dums out. Jim never said another word. That was it.
Well, if you come back again, I'll look up all those pictures and things. And I've got pictures of the old buildings that's torn down. They had a Red Man's Hall on here, too, besides the Masonic Lodge. And,
is that another society?
Uh-huh, yes, the Red Men. And,
graveside over here is the Red
Men. Cemetery, yes, uh-huh.
And that's the same organization?
Yes, uh-huh, it was. And the man next door belonged to it. And he used to take me up to rehearsals. Of course, I was only two or three years old. And all I remember is the officers had a big helmet with a red brush on the top of it, and the rest of them were just Indian suits. That was the Red Men. And I don't remember anything about what they said or anything.
Yeah, you're getting jogging memory about that next time.
But they used to have a lot more organizations and things on here than they used to have. We kept busy, pretty busy, and everything we had.
When I was coming along, when I was in high school, they had two dance halls here, the Seaview Casino and the Pony Pines. And I'd rather dance and eat. A lot of times we'd go to the Pines and dance instead of eating lunch. Needless to say, I was thin in those days, too.
Well, thank you very much, and we hope we can visit you again soon.
Well, my memory's not all that good. I remember sometimes, and sometimes I can't.
You did a really good job. We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.